It's Wednesday, October 14th. She didn't have notes, but Democrats did. We start here. No hints, no previews, no forecasts.
I'm not here on a mission to destroy the Affordable Care Act.
Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett echoing the Ginsburg standard used by justices at confirmation hearings. What we learned about her record. In the red, coronavirus cases surge in more than two dozen states.
There's this perfect storm of factors.
What's driving the uptick in Wisconsin? And as early voting continues, the Trump campaign says they'll be watching closely.
The Trump campaign has been referring to this as the Trump Army.
Why some critics fear this form of poll watching could turn into intimidation. From ABC News, this is Start Here. I'm Michelle Franzen. Good morning. Brad's off today.
You can relax a bit here, Judge, and take your mask off.
Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett facing a full day of questions from Senate judiciary members on the second day of confirmation hearings.
People say that you're a female Scalia. What would you say?
If I'm confirmed, you would not be getting Justice Scalia. You would be getting Justice Barrett.
Democratic lawmakers trying to get Barrett to clarify her stance on key issues that could come up before the nation's highest court, including the landmark case of Roe v. Wade.
I am 100% committed to judicial independence from political pressure. So whatever people's, you know, party platforms may be or campaign promises may be, the reason why judges have life tenure is to insulate them from those pressures.
ABC's Devin Dwyer joining us to break it all down. Devin, there weren't fireworks at this hearing, but there were a few contentious moments and the undercurrent between Democrats and Republicans still there. What stood out to you?
Yeah, we're watching a microcosm of the 2020 election play out in the Senate Judiciary Committee room, Michelle, but it is missing all the rancor and divisiveness of the campaign that's happening outside. This has been stunningly civil, polite, outright cordial.
Judge, it's wonderful to see you here. Also with the family that I have been observing. They sit still, quiet. You've done a very good job.
I have eyes in the back of my head, so they know I'm watching.
But make no mistake, both parties are posturing.
So all the young conservative women out there, this hearing to me is about a place for you. I hope when this is all over that there'll be a place for you at the table.
And using this spotlight to drive some points home for their voters, especially their bases in these final weeks of the campaign.
The platform of my colleagues on the other side of this aisle say that a Republican president will appoint judges who will reverse Roe, Obergefell, and the Obamacare cases.
And it was striking on these hot-button issues as Democrats have kept their focus trained on abortion, trained on Obamacare.
I'm not here on a mission to destroy the Affordable Care Act. I'm just here to apply the law and adhere to the rule of law.
And this issue of recusal. What would a Justice Barrett do if the 2020 election lands in front of her at the Supreme Court?
I certainly hope that all members of the committee have more confidence in my integrity than to think that I would allow myself to be used as a pawn to decide this election for the American people.
She wouldn't commit either way on whether she would recuse herself in such an instance, but she gave a very strong, perhaps her strongest statement yet, distancing herself from President Trump, wanting to preserve her credibility and saying she would look at it very closely. She wanted to avoid even the appearance of a conflict, Michelle.
It's distressing not to get a straight answer. So let me try again. Do you agree with Justice Scalia's view that Roe was wrongly decided?
Senator, I completely understand why you are asking the question, but again, I can't pre-commit or say, yes, I'm going in with some agenda, because I'm not. I don't have any agenda.
In some of the exchanges between Democrats and Barrett, there were repeated questions for her to get on the record about her record on abortion. Senator Amy Klobuchar asking Barrett if Roe v. Wade was a super precedent question. Explain what that means and what did Barrett say?
Yeah, this is a tricky issue, right? Because nominees to the court don't want to signal how they would rule on a particular case.
Is Roe a super precedent
How would you define super precedent?
But she was pressed on this issue of super precedents. It's an informal idea that the Supreme Court has a body of work that is so established it is untouchable. She wrote a journal article, Michelle, a few years ago, identifying and supporting six cases.
For Brown to be overruled, you would have to have Congress or some state or local government impose segregation again.
Roe versus Wade is not on that list.
Roe is not a super precedent because calls for its overruling have never ceased, but that doesn't mean that Roe should be overruled.
I will say that she's been a little squishy on the issue of precedent. On the one hand, she says that she, like all judges, would respect precedent. On the other, she's written quite clearly in her legal writings that she believes, as an originalist, that if her interpretation of the Constitution comes into conflict with a precedent she would think is wrongly decided, the interpretation of the Constitution would win out. And so that's what's got a lot of Democrats particularly concerned. She would not go there on the issue of abortion.
So if I express a view on a precedent one way or another, whether I say I love it or I hate it, it signals to litigants that I might tilt one way or another in a pending case.
But there are some tea leaves, Michelle. She did hint that perhaps the core holding of Roe would be relatively settled. She sort of signaled, if you're reading between the lines, that the real battle lines on the issue of abortion in the years to come is over restrictions to that right.
I would suggest that we not pretend that we don't know how this nominee views a woman's right to choose and make her own healthcare decisions.
Now, we've had this marathon session here, the questioning, even coming from Democratic nominee Kamala Harris. So that's a big deal here to see that play out. What's next in this process?
Yeah, last night Kamala Harris had quite a moment in the spotlight.
Since President Obama signed the Affordable Care Act into law, Senate Republicans' number one priority has been to tear it down.
For her, this is about putting the focus on the stakes in the election.
Can you set aside whatever Catholic beliefs you have regarding any issue before you?
I can. I have done that in my time on the Seventh Circuit.
Republicans at the same time have been talking about Judge Barrett's religious values, her commitment to the law.
You'll never break that oath.
I will not break that oath.
No matter what your personal feelings are.
No matter what my personal feelings.
No matter what your religion is.
No matter what my religion is.
So when Senator Harris and her colleagues say you're a liar, they're wrong.
They are.
Her really sterling credentials as a jurist, and people on both sides of the aisle agree with her there. But this fight is very much about the election. And so later today, as we see the second round and third round of questioning continue late into the evening, we will see these themes continue to be teased out. Bottom line, Michelle, everybody realizes the votes are there to confirm her, barring some late surprise. And so this is all really about scoring points here in the home stretch of the campaign.
And Devin, during yesterday's hearing, the current Supreme Court justices issuing an order allowing the Trump administration to end the 2020 census earlier than planned. There's a lot of dates out there. So what does this mean?
This was a big move by the U.S. Supreme Court. Only eight justices, as you know, active in position right now. The Trump administration wanted to cut the 2020 census count short. They wanted to end it on September 30th so that they could meet a deadline by the end of the year to finalize those numbers, which, of course, are so critical, Michelle, to determining how many seats each state will get in Congress, which in turn can dictate how much money goes to each state. So much on the line for people here. But the Trump administration wanted to end it early, and the United States Supreme Court said without a notable objection, only Sonia Sotomayor saying she would have let the count keep going, they will be stopping it effective immediately.
And that means anyone who thought they had more time to fill out their census information are out of time. Devin, thanks.
You bet, Michelle.
Next up on Start Here, a resurgence with a vengeance, where coronavirus cases are on the rise and why, after the break.
With daylight saving time upon us, we're looking forward to more daylight and longer days from March through November, and while setting our clocks forward gives us the illusion of more time, it doesn't necessarily help businesses find qualified candidates any sooner. Fear not, there is a solution. ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is your 24/7 hiring partner working tirelessly to connect you with the right candidate. Once you post your job on ZipRecruiter, it gets distributed to over 100 job sites, ensuring you reach a diverse pool of qualified individuals. Their smart technology scans thousands of resumes, matching you with people whose skills perfectly align with your job requirements. Spring forward with a new hiring partner, ZipRecruiter, and find top talent sooner. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address to try ZipRecruiter for free, ZipRecruiter.com/start here. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/start here. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
To everyone fighting to recover from the virus, I feel your pain because I felt your pain.
President Trump is back on the campaign trail telling supporters he feels better than ever and that he's recovered from coronavirus.
Who has had it? Who has had it here? Who's had it? Yeah, a lot of people. A lot of people. Well, you're the people I want to say hello to because you're right now immune. You're right now immune, or they say that. You know, they hate to.
But tens of thousands of Americans are still being diagnosed. New cases top 41,000 a day, and infections are on the rise in more than 30 states. Oklahoma City reported there are no ICU beds available yesterday, the city extending its mask mandate until the end of the year. Other hotspots, Utah, where a field hospital is on standby for 6 counties, including Salt Lake City, and Wisconsin, where hospitalizations have nearly tripled in the past month. ABC's Stephanie Ramos is in Wisconsin and Milwaukee. Stephanie, you're on the ground there. Cases were already going up. What's causing this surge and record number of deaths there?
Michelle, what I'm hearing from doctors here in Milwaukee is that there's this perfect storm of factors resulting in a rise in COVID cases.
Actually,
here.
Certainly what we're seeing now is no longer college and university spread as really the focus. It's clearly community spread. It's in pretty much all parts of Wisconsin at this point.
There's community spread, and then there's the colder weather that's pushing people indoors where transmission rate is higher. But there's a cycle to this virus.
The bars in some parts of the state were just crammed with people.
State Senator Mark Miller saw the images of people taking advantage of the end of Wisconsin's Safer at Home extension.
People loosen restrictions, COVID rates spike, and then restrictions are put back in place.
Health officials say masks can slow the spread of COVID, even though the numbers are soaring while the current mask order is in place. Largely, some say, because too many people aren't wearing them.
So what we're seeing now is kind of what doctors here expected. They're worried, and this is why a field hospital has been set up here in Milwaukee. Because of the spike in hospitalizations, they need an extra place to tend to these COVID patients. So that's opening up today.
What's different now than before is that we've let down our guard.
One doctor put it this way. Wisconsin is in a state of crisis right now. It's not just up to the institutions, but it's up to the individual.
And we know that wearing a mask, social distancing, that's where it's at right now because there is not a vaccine. It comes also as major companies working on potential vaccines and treatments have pressed the pause button. Johnson & Johnson temporarily halted a late-stage study due to an unexplained illness in one volunteer. And now Eli Lilly announcing it's pausing a phase 3 trial for its antibody treatment. How come?
Well, there's a potential for safety concern. That's why they've paused this antibody trial treatment. So it's a setback, especially since, as you mentioned, Johnson & Johnson paused their vaccine trial when a volunteer became sick, and AstraZeneca doing the same. But Moderna and Pfizer are still on track. And we have to keep in mind, even though it may be discouraging to hear that another drug maker or vaccine maker has put their trials on hold, we have to remember that doctors say these kinds of developments are common when it comes to clinical trials.
And health experts continue to sound the alarm bell. Dr. Anthony Fauci calling this a resurgence, not a second wave that we're seeing here in the U.S. What are the concerns in the weeks ahead, not only there in Wisconsin, but also around the country with the election and with flu season?
Well, there's a big concern that restrictions will be relaxed.
I was following procedure, but I did not wear a mask, and I did go to the grocery store. I did stand in line.
Even here in Wisconsin, I spoke with a 64-year-old man. His name's Ken Holmes. He said that at the beginning of all of this, at the beginning of the pandemic, he took all precautions necessary. He said he was wearing a mask and he was being really careful. But when he saw his community kind of relax and when he saw folks out and about not wearing a mask, not social distancing, he started to do the same thing.
When I did go in, I was in critical condition.
And he got the virus.
And you're afraid to fall asleep. It's because you don't know if you're going to wake up.
That's a big concern for communities across the country, that people are just getting tired of taking these precautions of wearing the mask and social distancing. And what you can do to protect yourself and to protect others is follow the guidelines, wear your mask, do those things that seem so simple, but can actually save a life.
I don't know. I say pick your battles, and this isn't one to really pick. It's a no-brainer.
Stephanie, thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. Good to talk to you.
Election Day is coming at us fast, less than 3 weeks away. Early voting in full swing now across 46 states and Washington, D.C. There are changes due to this pandemic and a few glitches along the way. In Virginia, a roadside utility crew severed fiber cables in Chesterfield, which impacted a data center for the state's voter registration. In California, a standoff over what election officials call unofficial ballot drop boxes set up by the state's Republican Party in gun shops, outside churches, and other areas in Fresno, Los Angeles, and Orange counties. The state's attorney general warning those who tamper with votes will face prosecution. There's a deadline to remove the boxes by tomorrow. The California Republican Party says the state law does not specifically ban them from collecting ballots in a box.
Long lines in Texas today on day one of early voting there, and a victory for the Texas governor.
In Texas, it's a fight to get more drop-off ballot boxes. A federal appeals court upholding Governor Greg Abbott's order limiting one box per county. Harris County saw a record turnout for the first day of early voting with more than 120,000 ballots cast. The county, which includes the Houston area, has drive-in voting and 8 24-hour voting locations. Claims of widespread voter fraud ramping up further. President Trump calling on supporters to head to the polls, not just to vote, but to keep watch. It's not new. Poll monitors have long been part of our elections. ABC senior investigative producer Matthew Mosk has been tracking this. Matthew, explain what a poll watcher does.
Yeah, so a poll watcher is somebody who is at the polling place on behalf of the campaign. Each state has a different set of rules, but typically there are one or two representatives of each campaign allowed in the polling place simply to watch, just like the name suggests. They aren't supposed to intervene or campaign for their candidate or speak out, really. They're really there just to observe. And what we found was that the Trump campaign has begun a really robust effort to try and train poll watchers to have them at polling places.
So I'm Jesse Law. I'm your host today. I'm the Election Day Operations Director here for the Trump campaign.
So it's interesting. We got a hold of some video recordings of some of these training sessions that the Trump campaign was running in Pennsylvania and in Nevada.
So we're part of a coordinated system to quickly detect, mitigate, and document unintentional or intentional election-related disruptions that arise during the registration, voting, and counting periods.
What we saw was a training that took place in Las Vegas where a Trump campaign employee, whose job it was both virtually and in person, to train volunteers to be at the polling place. And there's a fairly lengthy PowerPoint that could probably be summed up with one of the main headlines, which is see something, say something.
Identity. So here's something that'll keep you up at night. There are occasions where the poll worker will coach the voter on their signature and
they're identifying information. Coach them. That is not okay.
What they're trying to do is have observers at the polling places take notes of anything they see that they think is an irregularity and to report those back to the campaign lawyers so they can use those in a legal challenge if there's going to be one mounted when the campaign is done.
Poll watchers have mostly been in the background. Candidates have stayed away from mentioning them. So what's changed this year?
Yeah, well, it starts with the name itself. The Trump campaign has been referring to this as the Trump Army, and that on its own has raised some concerns from election law experts who don't really like terminology like that. There was one expert who told us, an army doesn't sound like people who are just there to observe. An army sounds like people there to engage in war with the enemy. The other part of this that's different is that for many years, for 40 years, Republicans have been really restricted in their ability to do poll watching because of past episodes of voter intimidation. And there was actually a court decree preventing the Republican Party from having poll watchers play this role for a number of years. This year is different. They're going to be out in force. And so what the experts are trying to do is make sure that these people are not there to disrupt the voting activity that's going on.
Be willing to speak up politely if you see something that concerns you. So that's the point here, is that we're all judicious, that we're raising it as a question, not an accusation. I saw you let that guy vote twice. Like, no accusations, because that won't get you anywhere.
On the one hand, what they told us was the campaign is using all the right language. They're advising their poll watchers not to intervene.
Do not speak to or interact with any voters. We're not there to do that. Now,
not to approach voters directly, not to do anything that could be perceived.
No spectacles, please.
As intimidating voters. And in fact, the trainer in Las Vegas even tells the volunteers, don't do anything like that because we don't want that to give our campaign a black eye.
Will you pledge tonight that you will not declare victory until the election has been independently certified? President Trump, you go first.
I'm urging my supporters to go into the polls and watch very carefully, because that's what has to happen. I am urging them to do it.
On the other hand, one specific concern that was raised with us by some of the election law experts were the comments that the president made at the debate in which he was encouraging his supporters to go and watch at the polling precincts. And one reason they had concern was because of an earlier exchange during the debates on the question of the Proud Boys and white supremacy.
Right, Proud Boys,
stand back and stand by.
Anytime you're sort of mixing those conversations about militia groups and people going to the polls to watch closely, that makes election law experts very nervous about what kind of message is being sent.
President Trump has repeatedly made claims that voter fraud is a problem, but in past elections, has there been any widespread problems?
Yeah, I mean, one thing that election law experts told us repeatedly was that there has never really been any case documented of widespread voter fraud.
And this is all about trying to dissuade people from voting because he's trying to scare people into thinking that it's not going to be legitimate. Show up and vote. You will determine the outcome of this election. Vote, vote, vote.
The Biden campaign is also going to have poll watchers. It really almost sounds like the Biden campaign is sending out people to watch the Trump poll watchers more than anything else. And, you know, again, poll watching is a normal part of the campaign process. It just seems to be hyped up on steroids this time around.
Like much of everything else in this election year and pandemic. Matthew, thank you.
Thank you.
And one last thing.
In these strange times, people are in need of extra comfort. That's why it's always a nice gesture to send nudes.
Kraft's latest campaign for its popular mac and cheese brand was bound to cause a stir.
To be clear, I'm not advocating you send nudes to anyone. I'm talking about nudes, not nudes.
The tagline, send nudes, spelled N-O-O-D-S, was intended to coincide with National Noodle Day last week, aimed at adults to send loved ones a box of mac and cheese. But the quirky pun quickly caused some customers to boil over, criticizing the Wholesome company for using a play on words for the product they've built their biggest base around, kids.
Make some Kraft macaroni.
macaroni and cheese, please.
Parents threatened to ban the brand, and some reportedly said the advertising stunt sexualized mac and cheese. And then Noodlegate spiraled again. Some of the nudes promotions instead showing up to push QAnon conspiracy theories. The group's baseless claims include Democrats and celebrities or Satan worshipers and abused children. Kraft has since pulled the promotions from all of its platforms and apologized to customers. The comfort food for many, getting served social media style. And that's all for us on this day. Be sure to start here tomorrow and also leave a rating and review. It helps others discover the show. I'm Michelle Franz, and Brad's back tomorrow. Talk to you later.